Okay, here goes like this. Now we have a problem. We have a concept of this. The Talmud says, excellent, Ben. The Talmud says that Haman had an incredible power of speech, like we have in today's politicians, that he was able to, what we call double talk. That means most of the time he was having a conversation, there was multiple levels of what was going on. The most obvious way it says like this, in the Megillah, many times it says that the king did something. When it said the king did something, it didn't always mean today's physical king of Ahasuerus. Many times what it meant was the king meaning God. So when Haman's talking to the king, it doesn't only mean the king that he was actually talking to, it means the king above as well. And when he's speaking against the Jews to the king in front of him, he's also speaking to the Jews about the negative against Jews to the king above. See, he was having a conversation that looked like he was talking to the guy he was talking to, but really he was talking to the man on top. So that's something we have to know. We have to know the first step is that the bottom line is that the Haman was a master manipulator, and when he had the conversation, he was having a double talk conversation. And because of that, when Esther and Mordecai were trying to dismantle what Haman set up, they were also having conversations with God. So anything Haman's going to say against the Jews, Mordecai and Esther have to say pro the Jews. That's how it works out. Now, one of the most famous psukim, we're going to counteract it today. We're on page 1254. Wrong. We're on 1255, probably. This famous pasuk. So if anyone's here from Bethel, whatever, I don't know. If everyone's here from Bethel, they'll know I started. We're going with a different answer. So this is Haman's line. We're on 1255, verse 8, in chapter 3:8. Here it goes. Vayomer Haman. Haman said to the king Ahasuerus. Now, again, we know when he's talking to the king Ahasuerus, he's also having a double conversation. And it says this. There is a certain people, Yeshma'am Echad, there's a certain people, scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples. Doesn't say their name. In all of the provinces of your realm, they're all over the place. Their laws are different. They do not observe even the king's laws. King's laws. Therefore, it is not befitting for the king to tolerate them. So what he is doing now, he is basically saying, God, listen to me. They are scattered. This is the most famous interpretation. We're doing a different one tonight. But first, we'll do the famous one. They are saying the Jews are interdispersed means there is no unity among the Jews. That's what the words mean. But it says scattered and dispersed. That doesn't mean, it also might mean physically. Again, he's multiple levels. So it means not only scattered, dispersed physically, they're living all over the world, but also they're not with each other. There's no unity. And that's bad for the Jews. And so he's telling the king, if they don't observe your laws, these people aren't that good. And God is saying, you know what? He's saying he's a prosecutor. He's doing a good job. And therefore the Jews are in trouble. Now, as this goes on, we're not going to do the whole thing now. In chapter three, it's Haman talking against the Jews and it's working. God is getting, use such a quote, riled up, angry at the Jews. Then starts chapter four, same page. Mordecai learned. Mordecai knows what's going on. Mordecai has angels talking to him. He said, buddy, it's bad upstairs. There's a court case going on. The Jews aren't doing well. And then he tries to get Esther. Verse four, we're switching pages now. And it goes like this. Esther decides, here's the verse 15. On 1256, verse 15. This is Esther debating until now. She was debating whether or not that she should go into the king right now. What's strange about the story, we have to know this in general. This Esther presently does not know. It's something for some reason people don't know what you're saying now. The story of Haman, this original conversation that took place right beforehand, is right before the holiday of Passover, a couple days before Passover. And now Mordecai comes over to Esther and he's telling Esther, we're in trouble. But the letters that were sent out, if you remember the letters that were sent out, they were sent out for Purim time. So basically what happened was, in chapter 3, Haman convinced Ahasuerus against the Jews, but the actual decree against the Jews was only going to take place much later. Here it says, just in case you want to see it, on verse 13. Verse 13 on page 1255. It says, well, letters were sent out by courier to all the king's provinces to destroy, to slay, to exterminate Jews, young and old, children and women, and a single day when? The 13th day of the 12th month. So that was almost a full year later. Full year later. This is going on Passover time. And this conversation now on page 1256 is Passover time. And Mordecai is saying, listen, Esther, we're in trouble. We got to do something. And her response in this chapter is, okay, let's relax. We got time. We got 11 months. You know, the Jews can do a lot in 11 months. We got bribery. We have a lot of ways to destroy this thing. And Mordecai's insistent. Look, you're going in now. This is why you're here. This is the whole conversation. You better go in. And then she says, you know what? No mas. I agree. I'm going to walk with Dr. Esh, but it's dangerous. You want me to go in? I need something from you. And there's the crucial words, verse 15. Then Esther said to Mordecai, go assemble all the Jews to be found in Shushan. So one of the famous explanations, which we're not going to discuss tonight, even though we are discussing it tonight, for the introduction is, What she was saying was, go assemble men. If the Jews are scattered and not in unity, you want to win this war against Haman? Haman went to God, and Haman told God, you know, the Jews are no good because they're scattered, they're fighting. So she said, you want me to go in? You want me to go into the king? By the way, Esther's walking into two kings. Same thing. She's walking to the king in front of her, but she's talking to the king upstairs. So she says, Mordechai, you want me to counteract Haman talking to the king? Talking to the king? I'll do the same thing. But you know what Haman's first thing was? Jews have no unity. Unity. Go assemble. What I just told you now is not my own. That was written already in the 1500s.
Not the Malbim.
Malbim quoted. But it's from way earlier.
Alsich?
It's from the Alsich time, 1500s.
Set up.
Yeah, 1500s. That time. So the first thing was the not thing we're doing tonight. Now we're doing the original thing. But the original approach is that which we agree with. We're sticking with the setup. Haman was speaking against the Jews to God as well, pointing out negative things that the Jews were doing. And Esther is playing the chessboard and matching up and saying, you know what? Haman, everything you said against the Jews, I'm going to fix up right now. So by the time I walk into the king, they're going to say, oh, the Jews are what? Jews are what? Look outside. The Jews are in unity. What are you talking about? Perfect game playing. And Haman looks like an idiot, and Haman gets killed. But I want to point out something else. Unbelievable. This is what we're going to discuss tonight. Relevant to tonight, why you guys are here, and relevant to today's time, sadly said. Hopefully we fix it tonight.
Amen.
Interesting is in verse 8, okay, 1255, how the whole game started. The game started like this. Haman said to the king, which we said was a double speak, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed. So we focused on the word scattered abroad and dispersed, which means no unity, and we counteracted it to the words go assemble. But there's another difference here I want to point out. And this, I think, is the theme of why you're coming in the custom on Sunday. Because what he said was, there is a certain people, he didn't say the name. And she said, go assemble the Jews.
Tell me again, what chapter does she say, go assemble the Jews?
End of 4, 4:15, on page 1256. Then Esther said to Mordechai, go assemble all the Jews.
Thank you.
She added the detail. So what Haman wants to say is this.
Assemble all the Jews.
Haman wants to say that among Haman's statement, Achashverosh, meaning God, against the Jews, no unity. You know what else he was saying? No Jewish identity. There are certain people. What do they identify as? As an American, we're going to say just for American. They identify as Americans. But do they identify as Jews? And Haman said to Achashverosh, meaning he said to God, what are you doing with these people? They don't even identify themselves as Jews. Get rid of them. And Esther, realizing what's going on, of course, assemble. But who assemble who? Jews. Meaning, recognize Jewish identity. If you get the Jews to say, we are Jews, we're in a good position. That's the counteracted situation. The Jewish identity becomes, according to me, the theme of the entire Megillah, the entire saving of the story we'll see today, and why one explanation of this weird custom that's going to happen on Sunday when you come dressed up in my house. Why are we getting dressed up on Purim? For what? What is the point of wearing weird costumes? We don't take it from non-Jewish holidays. They take it from us. Why are we dressing up as weirdos? Whatever we're dressing up as. It doesn't make a difference. I don't care if you're going to the 15th century at some couple, or you're going to Antoinette, what are the names? I don't even care. Why are we doing it? So the answer we're going to say is this, because we're trying to show God, it doesn't matter what we look like. If I'm wearing a suit, a baseball cap, whatever that is on yet, I can't see. Whatever you're wearing, doesn't make a difference. You know what makes a difference? You're going to a Purim Suda because you're saying, I am a Jew. It doesn't matter what I look like. I identify as a Jew. The way we won the war back then, go assemble the Jews. And if you look through the Megillah, one of the most popular words in the Megillah Esther is the word Jews. The Jews gathered for the war. There's 100 places in the Megillah. The Jews kept on gathering. The Jews fought the fight. The Jews did this. What's going on with the Jews? The Jews, the Jews. The answer is there had to be people that identify themselves as Jews. When you read about the war, it's every single time about the war, and later on, it's going to be about the Jews. Here it is. If you want to look at an example, 1259, we're on chapter 8, verse 7. Behold, I have given Haman's estate to Esther because he plotted against the Jews. And the whole war is the Jews. If you look, it's a lot of times the word Jews appears. And almost every single time you look at in the Megillah Esther, the word the pasuk could have been written without the word Jews in there. Why is the word Jews in there written? I'm telling you right now, because the identifiable concept is Jews.
Like Mordecai, the Jew.
I'm about to get to that.
Yeah.
Look at this right now. Page 1253, page chapter 2, verse 5, the introduction of Mordecai into the Megillah. He's not mentioned until here. Here goes. There was a Jewish man in Shushan. The capital's name is Mordecai. Jewish man in Shushan. What does that mean? Why are we even saying such a word? It happens to be the way the Talmud has a very serious question. The Talmud says, if in Hebrew, you look at the word in Hebrew, it says Ish Yehudi, which of course now they wrote Jewish man. The Talmud said, and what does it say at the end of it?
The tribe of Judah. Should be.
Tribe of Judah. It says the capital whose name was Mordechai, a Benjamite. So the Talmud has a very serious question. Was he a Benjamite or a Judite? Is it Judah's one of the names of the 12 tribes? Benjamite's the name of the 12 tribes. Which one is he? Talmud asked that question. According to what we're saying now, it's a different game going on here. It's not what tribe he's from. What is he identifying? I'll tell you a step further. Is there one Jewish man in Shushan? No. There were about 180,000 Jews there. One Jewish man? One Jewish man who identified publicly as a Jew. The one guy. That's the guy who's going to save us. That's why he has to be here. The one who's going to save us is the one identifying as a Jew. And you know, by the way, you want to see amazing? What is, as things are going down, things are falling apart for Haman. Unbelievable. Check this out. On page 1258, we're going to chapter 6, verse 13 on top. Haman came to his wife. What happened was Ahasuerus had a dream and he got nervous and he said, I want to do something. And Mordechai drags Haman. Mordechai drags Haman sort of as a slave through the streets. Haman's depressed. It's all bad. Here it says, Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that happened to him. This is not good for him. And his advisors and his wives Zeresh said to him, if Mordechai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but you will fall. His wife, a sorceress, she said, you're going down, Haman, if Mordechai's a Jew. Commentators say, Mordechai's a Jew.
First thing we know, he's a Jew. He's the only...
How can you say Mordechai's a Jew? Are we not? Haman's fighting the Jewish nation because of Mordechai. Haman, the whole fight, that all Jewish nation is Mordechai. Zeresh's wife is waking up and says, oh, wait a second. You're fighting Mordechai? Is Mordechai Jewish, by the way? What? Biggest rabbi of the generation? What'd she say? And if he's Jewish, you're going to lose. Zeresh, were you not involved with the plot the whole time? You're talking about bandwagoners. Bandwagon is, she just jumped, oh, you find the Jews. I love the Jews. Everyone loves the Jews all of a sudden. The answer is no. What she was saying is, if Mordechai, whom you've begun to vote, is of Jewish descent, means he's telling people, I am a Jew. That's the way you're going to lose. Because Haman, your victory was built on the road of the Jews not identifying as Jews. The moment the Jewish nation becomes identified as Jews, and Mordechai is the one saying publicly, I am a Jew in the streets, you can't win this game. You can't win because you're fighting him. And he doesn't have this problem. He's already identified himself as a Jew. And the whole thing to go against the Jews was that the Jews were scattered, yes, not unified, but also not identifying as a Jew. The non-identification of the Jew was the biggest problem. In fact, it's a famous question. I want to answer this. Because all until now is a beautiful story. In law, there's a very strange thing. In law, any mitzvah that comes around once in a while, you make a special blessing before you do it. The blessing of Shechiyah. That means any mitzvah you do, Passover night, on a holiday comes around, make a Shechiyah. Lighting menorah, you make a Shechiyah. Any mitzvah that comes around once in a while, Shechiyah means you now, I am alive today, I'm supposed to be here. Very few exceptions to these rules. Any mitzvah that comes around once in a while, you make a Shechiyah. Right? All the mitzvahs. You go through the lulav. The first time you shake a lulav, say Shechiyah. First time you eat matzah, say Shechiyah. Why? Because Shechiyah means I didn't always have this. I'll tell you an oddity halacha. An oddity halacha is when it comes to the Megillah, how many times do we lay in the Megillah on Purim?
Twice.
Twice. Once at night and once in the morning. And you know what you do twice? Which you never do in the span of 12 hours. Depends on how long your night is and how late you wake up based on what you drink the night before. You say Shechiyah twice. On the night of the Megillah, they're going to say Shechiyah. And on the morning of the Megillah, they say Shechiyah. I just said Shechiyah last night. I'm doing the mitzvah. I'm doing the exact mitzvah 12 hours later. How many times do you say Shechiyah over the days of Lulav? One time. First time. How many times do you say Shechiyah on Hanukkah? First night you make three blessings. Every night too. Because you don't make a Shechiyah on the next night. No, that's a thing.
So is it?
But yet here by the day. Now Pesach, is that what you're about to ask? The only time you make a Shechiyah on a second night is if it's a fake first night. The second night of the Seder is a fake first night.
Eat new food or something, right?
Right. But overall, you never make Shechiyah on the same list right away.
Rosh Hashanah, you do it twice.
Whole different reason. But no, that's not sure. It's 2 days, 1 day. You can't go that. But why are you saying Shechiyah twice? So I want to say something we've said in the Tuesday night class many times. There's a famous story of a grand rabbi a long time ago. They say the story about different grand rabbis, so no names to be mentioned. They say it about rabbis from literally 1,200 years ago and Hasidic rabbis from 200 years ago. Either way, the story's good. They're standing in shul in the morning, and they hear the guy making a blessing. What's the first blessing you make in the morning? Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam. The The second book, he says, Shaloi Asani Goy. Thank you, God, I'm not a Goy. So one of the students, whatever story you're going into, taps the rabbi and says, Rabbi, I think you're getting a little old, a little old. He goes, why? Because I heard you make the blessing an hour ago. We make the blessings in the morning one time. I want to warn you. I heard you say it an hour ago. Why are you repeating yourself? Are you getting old? I'm not getting old. He said, you should know that on a day like today, when I did so much in the last hour, I accomplished so much. I washed my hands, put on my tefillin, whatever he says. Depends which generation you go into the story. I now realize how great it is to be a Jew. I'm proud again to be a Jew. So you know what I do again? I say again, Shalei Yisani Goy. Every 10 minutes, I say, look how good I am. Look how lucky I am to be a Jew.
Are we allowed to say that?
If you feel that well, maybe.
We're that guy, we are.
If you really believe how lucky I am to be a Jew, could be you make the blessing more every 10 minutes. Could be. And it's not, you have to really believe it. When we say Shechiyonu, what's the words in English? That you created me, that I'm alive till today.
Created, sustained, so, kept us in life.
Kept us right. Shechiyonu, v'kimonu, v'giyonu. Azman is that you sustained me to reach this moment of time. I don't know exactly what's the word. You reached me this moment of time. Unbelievable. But we said it last night. From the Megillah, why are you saying it again? Because Megillah's Esther is about recognizing you're a Jew. So the same way, if you're a grand rabbi, you say Shalom Asani Goy twice. We say Shechiyonu, I'm a sustained again God. I'm a new person again. Because I recognize once again, I am a Jew. I am a Jew. One of the most important things about the whole Megillah Esther. I recognize what a value it means to be a Jew. Who created this whole thing? Haman. Because before Haman came along, the Jews were scattered. And they were what? A nation among people. A certain people. Nameless. Nationless. Identifiableless. That's even a word, no.
Like the Jews in America. You couldn't look at someone and say, oh, that guy's Jew, that guy's not. Now, how would you know that?
How would you know? And what happens? Haman comes along, and the Jews got a fear, and they said, we're going to identify. And Esther said, identify as a Jew, get together. Everyone does it. Which means evil people can create positive identifiers of Jews. I would venture to say we don't do politics in this class ever, but right now, hopefully before the exile is about to end, I would say right now, there is a grand level of improvement. Not that I say it's a good thing, can't say such words.
Community.
Can't say such words, but from the moment of October 7th, around the globe, not all sad to say, but many, many Jews who did not identify themselves as Jewish in any significant manner are coming forward and saying, I am a Jew. People you wouldn't even know are Jews because it can come through a bad place, but that's the way to win. It means God is saying, you want to win? Identify as a Jew. We asked before a question. If this story is taking place on Pesach and it doesn't begin for almost 12 months later, and Esther's like, Mordechai, relax. Listen, let's think through a strategy right now. Things don't look good, but let's not do anything rash. No rash decisions in the next few minutes. Mordechai, we have time. Time's on my side. Give me some time. I'll figure out how to get the best moment to talk to the king. If I go in, I'm losing. So she tells Mordechai, wait till he calls me in. I'm holding the cards better. No, Mordechai said, you're going in right now. She's like, okay. And we asked before, why are you going in right now? For what? What's the point? According to what we're saying, it's unbelievable. You know why you're going in right now? Because what was that? The holiday of Pesach. When the Jewish nation is created, a nation where we say, we are Jews. That's what we became. You know when Haman dies? On Pesach. Because Haman, you were coming after the Jews, that they weren't considered Jews. You came after them, they don't identify. You get killed on Passover. On Pesach. The holiday of the year that the Jews stand up and say, I am a Jew. I am a Jew? Haman, you're out. Game over. The winning thing happens when the Jews get together and say, I am a Jew. The point of the holiday, of the reading of the Megillah, is to instill ourselves the concept of what it means to be a Jew. It's not about defending a homeland. It's not enough. Has to be more than that. That's important. Of course you have to defend something. But it means when you look at the world and they turn around for us, they say, okay, what's Israel stand for? It has to be we stand for we are the Jews. That means something more than just we are the Jews. It means we identify and we recognize what we bring to the world. That's an important thing. Now I'll tell you something mind-blowing for the two questions.
Okay.
We have code breakers. There are code breakers from 800 years ago. And when they're reading the Megillah, it's like they're seeing things we're not. They put things together, you don't put together. And the Rakeach, one of the great code breakers, he says, you want to know what the first word of the Megillah is on page 1252? And it came to pass, Vayehi. And what's the last word of the Megillah? Last word of the Megillah is on page 1261, L'chol Zaroi. He says, the beginning and the end, the theme of what's going on. What's going on here? What do these words numerically add up to? You can never guess it. But I'll tell you right now.
613.
Not bad. Not bad.
1224.
770.
Mordechai Hayehu. Mordechai the Jew. You know what it's telling you? Because it adds up. I did it today on the background. The Megillah is telling us that from the beginning to the end, you know what it came down to? Jewish identity. Mordechai Yehudi, who's Mordechai? The Jewish Mordechai, obviously. No, there's one Jew in Shushan who's walking around saying, I'm a Jew. Zerah says, is he a Jew? Of course he's a Jew. You've been fighting this guy. No. Does he identify as a Jew? Does he gathering the crowd to identify as a Jew? If that's what it is, the theme, beginning to end, is all about Mordechai the Jew. Go, you were first. Bam, go.
So was Mordechai really a Benjaminite when there weren't any Benjaminites left at the time?
Oh, so the simple answer is going to be, on some level, some Benjamites left. And he was from the tribe of Benjamin through one of his ancestries. And he had a second ancestry through mothers. We'll say the easy answer through Judah, because technically we have two separate ancestries. We're saying that he was a full-fledged Benjamite. We don't have to. And he identified himself as a Jew. Because that was the point. Not that he's a Judah tribe, but he's a Judah Jew. Means he identified publicly as a Jew. Charles, what was your question?
My question was that at that point that Esther tells her that that was Mordechai. No, gather all the people and make them have Oxus immunity as a Jew and identify as Jews. She herself still wasn't out about her being a Jew.
Excellent question. I should have said this. One of the famous questions in the Megillah is this. One of the famous questions is this. Esther gets into power. Power to me. She married the king. I mean, that's huge, right? In the White House. We got a Jew in the White House. You've heard that phrase. We got a Jew in the White House. And Mordechai's first command to her is, by the way, zip it. No one can know. And this is years before.
5 years.
5 years. The political genius of Mordechai, which we'll have to know why in a second, the political genius of Mordechai to predict events that are going to occur, he tells her right now, you shut your mouth right now. And at this point, if you're standing next to Mordechai, you know what you tell Mordechai? What are you nuts? We got a Jew in the White House. There's no more building code violations. There'll never be a traffic ticket for a Jew in the world again. What are you talking about? What are you doing? And I say, no, future. We're planning for the future. But what? Haman's a nobody.
He wasn't nobody at that point.
What are we doing 5 years in the future? And that question has a lot of answers. But one of the answers is this genius idea that Mordechai knew if Esther would announce herself, don't know who she was. She's Persian. She's Macedonian. She's French. She's Spanish. She's Arab. No one knew. She said, but the moment she'll say publicly, I am a Jew, what was going to happen, according to one answer, was that all the non-Jews in the world were going to raise up the Jewish stature. The queen's a Jew. You know what that's going to mean for an American phrase? Let's marry a Jewish doctor. That means the Jews now will be the high mark of society. They got the queen. Everyone's going to say, I want to get close to the Jews so I can get close to the queen. I want to give money to my Jewish neighbor so hopefully when he meets the queen, and she'll.
What's bad about that?
And what's bad about that was going to be that Mordechai realized that's going to start creating intermarriage. The worst thing for identifying as a Jew, because all the, I don't want to say pretty, rich, whatever there was, whatever any quality you had, you're going to the Jewish doctor. You're going to the Jewish girl. And you're going to try to get the Jews. And that's going to make Jewish identity suffer much worse. Because when the Jews are in stature, it sounds good for the Jews, but at some times, not so good for all the Jews. Some of the Jews say, you know what? I'm welcomed in these families. I've been done. I wanted to get into that premier golf club course that said no Jews in the 1950s and 60s. Now it lets the Jews in. The Jews say, I don't want to go there. I'm not just going to go to a golf course. That said no Jews for 50 years. That's sadly, not the way human nature works. What human nature does is, at this moment in time, it pushes us to be want to fit in. So Mordechai said, no. You know what? Keep the Jews as the lowest ability possible. 50 years ago in America, there was very little intermarriage. Very little intermarriage. And one of the main reasons was the non-Jews wouldn't marry the Jews. 56 years ago. Now, if you open New York Times, which you probably shouldn't, and you go to the marriage section on Sunday, which you probably shouldn't, you would see the intermarriage rate is through the scribe. Now, so what Mordechai did was a master plan. Mordechai said, you know what? Esther, keep quiet. Don't rise to power. Don't rise to power. Now look at this passage that we're saying also. In 920, how do we find this here? We're on page 1261.
What chapter? What?
Chapter 9, verse 20. It's on 1261, top left. Mordechai recorded the events and sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Ahasuerus, near and far. So the simple explanation means he sent letters physically all over to all the places, near and far. It means physically. But the rabbis bring down, no, near and far meant, back on the word Jews. Mordechai recorded these events and sent letters to all the Jews. Which Jews? Near and far. The Jews who were close and the Jews who were far away. The Jews who were far away, there's a phrase here that says, hold on, if I can find it here. First, you have to look on page 1260, the word Yehudim appears five times. But it says over here that the Jews from near and far all converted to, it means they became better Jews. It means that all the people gathered. What it means is, again, there was a massive Baal Tshuva movement going on in the time of Mordechai. That near and far meant all coming together. What are they coming together as? We're saying tonight that the Kuda, the middle point, the holding it all together, the fabric of the miracle of what occurred, was Jewish identity. And that's what holds it together, and that's why everyone's invited to the Purim Seder. Doesn't matter what you look like, you're still a Jew. The point we want to say now is this. If now in today's society, Rabbi Gabi tells me that he heard in certain neighborhoods after October 7th, you couldn't buy a mezuzah. Because people who did not put a mezuzah on the door for the last X amount of years were saying, you know what, I'm going to be proud to be a Jew. And in certain neighborhoods, you couldn't get mezuzahs. There was like a shortage on people showing public damage. I say, hopefully, from now, this tape gets out there, and all the Jews in the world start identifying as Jews. They do what Esther made them do in the original time. We're going to fast the fast of Esther, and we're going to celebrate victory over the entire world and end the exile, hopefully, in the next couple days. Amen.